Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we're continuing our discussion of the fact that as sons and daughters of God, we have an inheritance. Our inheritance includes everything we need to live this life and the life to come. And this week, we're beginning to talk about our imperishable inheritance. That's a reference to what is available to us in the life to come. Now, I know a lot of you are thinking, that's a long way away and I need real help now. Our inheritance includes provision for this life, but a lot of us have trouble accessing the provision that's available for this life through our inheritance because we don't have an eternal perspective. We don't understand, because it isn't preached much, I'll grant you that, we don't understand that there's more to life than just this life. From the moment you come into existence, you're an eternal being or someone who's going to live forever. No one ceases to exist at death. When your body dies, you, the unseen part of you, pass into another dimension, either heaven or hell, depending on your response to Jesus in this life. For those who know the Lord, there's life after this life, first in the unseen heaven and then on this earth made new. We've discussed all that. Heaven is a temporary holding place, if I can say it that way, until Jesus comes back and this world is made new and all who are in heaven are reunited with their original physical body, raised from the dead, made immortal, incorruptible, so we can live on this earth again after it has been made new and restored to a fit forever home for God and his family. But for those who know the Lord, there's life after this life, first in the unseen heaven, and then on this earth after it's made new. This life is not supposed to be the highlight of your existence, because it's only a tiny part of your existence. If you live the best life possible and achieve all your dreams, old age and death take it away. Life as it is on this earth is not as it was meant to be because of sin, but all will be made right when Jesus comes again and the plan of redemption is completed. To walk in the provision of your inheritance in this life, and there is provision in this life, but to walk in it, it's vital that you develop an eternal perspective and live with the consciousness that there's more to life than just this life. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, Peter wrote that because of Jesus' resurrection, we have a living hope or an inheritance reserved for us in heaven. This inheritance is incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away. It's an inheritance that is reserved for us. Reserved means guarded from injury by keeping it. It means to guard from injury by keeping an eye on. Goodspeed's translation says it's kept safe for you in heaven. Now, that's a reference to something still to come. Let's talk about that for a minute. Peter understood this. See, Peter wrote this epistle where he's talking about we have an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled. It can't decay or change. It can't be marred. It's reserved for us in heaven. Peter understood this in terms of something Jesus said to him when he was on earth. I'm turning over to Matthew chapter 19. The disciples left all to follow Jesus. You know that. The Gospels make that very clear. They left their fishing boats, their homes, their families, and they left all to follow Jesus. And in Matthew chapter 19, Peter asked Jesus what their reward was going to be. Let me read this. I'm in Matthew 19, verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all. We, meaning the 12, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Jesus answered, and Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that you which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne on his in the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. Now there's a lot in this, but let's pull this apart. Jesus didn't rebuke them. He didn't rebuke Peter for asking, well, what do we get? What are we going to get out of this? We've left all to follow you, everything in our life. What do we get? Jesus said, you're going to receive over and above what you gave up. You'll receive 100-fold. Now, 100-fold is an expression of speech. It's not a promise that if you put a dollar in the collection plate, you'll get 100 back. There is no promise of 100-fold monetary return anywhere in Scripture. I know people teach it, but they're wrong. I would say it to their face if I saw them. I'm sure they're sincere, or I think some of them are sincere. Some of them, I'm not sure, just to be quite honest. There is no promise of 100-fold return in Scripture. It comes from taking verses out of context. Peter and the other disciples did not hear Jesus say, pony up, boys, if you put a bunch of money in the plate, you'll get 100%, 100-fold return back on it. 100-fold is a figure of speech that means you're going to get over and above what you gave out. What you gave up, you're going to get over and above back. Some in this life and some in the life to come. If we turn over to Mark's version of this, Mark's rendering of this, Mark 10, he makes it clear that you will get some things back in this life, but the bulk of it is for the life to come. Let me go on. In the life to come, you're going to have eternal life. He says you're going to have everlasting or eternal life. Now, Jesus specifically says that this reward will come in the regeneration. Regeneration in the Greek means new birth. It's exactly the same word that's translated new birth elsewhere in the New Testament. The Amplified says it this way, in the New Age, the messianic rebirth of the world. Peter and the other disciples knew from the writings of the prophets that there is coming a regeneration or rebirth of the world. The earth will be freed from corruption and death and made new. Isaiah is the very first one to talk about this, Isaiah 65:17. Jesus also told these guys that at that time, as his original followers, they're going to be given unique positions as judges over the 12 tribes of Israel. That's another can of worms for another day. That's a promise to them, not to you, not to me. But here's the point for now. I could do a whole lesson on this. We could refer to many places in the prophets, the writings of the prophets, where they talk about the life to come. And based on the writings of the prophets, the disciples would have understood eternal life to mean you'll be raised from the dead so you can live on earth again. All that you've lost will be restored, and this time you'll keep it forever. Death will never rob from you again. See, eternal life for us is kind of a wispy, ethereal, float on clouds kind of thing. That's not the way the Bible presents it, but that's how many of us have heard it. But these guys knew from the writings of the prophets, the life after this life includes a return to this earth to be reunited with their bodies, raised from the grave. They understood it to mean everything that old age, death, and the sufferings and corruptions of this life took away from them will be restored to them. Jesus is making the point, whatever you give up to serve me, you'll get it back and over and above what you gave up in the life to come. Now, in this epistle where we are getting our verse about an incorruptible, imperishable inheritance here in 1 Peter, Peter was writing to believers who were experiencing increasing pressure for their faith in Christ. It was going to blossom into full-blown persecution in the not-too-distant future. And he wrote in part to encourage them to stay faithful to Jesus because it's worth it in the end. He knew from the lips of Jesus and from the writings of the prophets, there's coming a time after this life when whatever you lose in this life to serve the Lord, you'll get back. Now, in that context, he referenced their inheritance. That's the context in which he referenced their inheritance, telling them it's safely guarded. Let me keep reading. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, we have an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto the salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. He made it clear. This is a salvation or an inheritance that's ready to be revealed in the last time, and God will keep you by his power until that time. Let me read verse 5 out of the Amplified. You who are being guarded by God's power through your faith till you fully inherit that final salvation that is ready to be revealed for you in the last time. Last time is a reference to the second coming of Jesus. Ready to be revealed speaks to the fact that a plan is being carried out that will be completed. Peter and the first Christians lived with the consciousness that they were part of something that will outlast this life. It will not only help them in this life, but it will outlast this life. Peter then defined the salvation that he's referring to as the one that the prophets wrote and wondered about. If we drop down to verse 10, it says, of which salvation the prophets inquired and searched diligently. I'm not going to read the whole passage because we're running out of time, but here's the point for now. As soon as Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden and brought the curse of corruption and death to mankind in the earth, God began to reveal his plan of salvation and redemption. Right there in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, he spoke of the seed of the woman who would undo the damage done. The seed is Jesus, the woman is Mary. And through the centuries, God revealed increasing aspects of his plan until the coming of Jesus to complete the plan. Peter, this is the same guy. We talked about this verse last week in Acts chapter 3 in one of his earliest sermons, verse 21. He said, Jesus has gone back to heaven until the times of the restoration of all things which God has spoken about through the mouths of his holy prophets since the earliest ages of man. God has promised since the fall, and he has repeated that promise and increasingly expanded and enlarged it. He's repeated the promise that there's coming a day when all will be made right through my salvation. And Peter was writing to Christians being pressured to abandon Jesus, that God will keep us by his power, that's present provision, through our faith until the completion of the plan of redemption when we receive our full imperishable inheritance, which is a body raised from the dead and life on this earth made new, and nobody can ever take it from us again. More tomorrow.
To Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.